You may have read Tom Wolfe's book Bonfire of the Vanities, and you may be one of the many people who stayed away from the movie adaptation. How the bestseller was turned into a big-budget bomb is the subject of the new book The Devil's Candy by Wall Street Journal film critic Julie Salomon. Book critic John Leonard recommends it.
I happened not to be an admirer of Tom Wolfe's famous novel, in which every single black person was a liar or a demagogue, all the women were mindless tinker toys, nobody in New York ever went to a movie or a deli or a ball game, 100,000 homeless didn't exist, nor the real estate tycoons who made those homeless possible, and the problem with our criminal justice system was that innocent white Yale grad junk bond salesmen couldn't get a fair shake. Bonfire was a bestseller, partly because it was what the rest of the country wanted to believe about New York, and partly because Wolfe is such a marvelous promoter of himself, a right-wing Andy Warhol. In his white suit, he could sell us anything from ice cream to Armageddon. Then I saw the movie. Oh my. The novel was at least an act of language. For Wolfe's zippy satiric style, his jet stream and jazz fugue, Brian De Palma substituted tricky camera angles. The city as seen from a pigeon's point of view, or a sewer's, through a lens of bloodshot eye, or dirty lollipop. What happened to the class hatred, the homophobia, and the shoes? Wolfe's a Matisse of shoes. And Wolfe, I thought, should sue. In The Devil's Candy, Julie Salomon tells us just what happened. Salomon's a film critic and a banking reporter for the Wall Street Journal. She could only have written her wonderful book because De Palma, the director of the misbegotten movie, let her on the set. Nobody else wanted her around while they were doing whatever it is they do, including De Palma's buddy Spielberg. From Salomon, we learn that De Palma, who turned down Batman, obviously had a death wish and a weight problem. And there seems to have been something wrong with almost everybody else connected to the $50 million that went down the drain. Tom Hanks, miscast as master of the go-go greedhead universe Sherman McCoy, had to have his bad teeth capped. Bruce Willis, maybe not so miscast as a tabloid sleazeball reporter, had to have his bald head sprayed, which did nothing to make him less obnoxious. Melanie Griffith, Tinker Toy, took time out in mid-production to get her breasts fixed. Morgan Freeman, playing the judge, was black instead of Jewish, cost $1 million after they were already over budget and behind schedule, and couldn't remember his lines. Upwardly failing producers Peter Guber and Mark Canton, who called Bonfire the best movie we've ever made, both quit Warner's for Sony. And if you ever wondered why Time Warner chairman Steve Ross takes home $80 million a year, just remember he was shrewd enough to sell losers like Guber and Canton to the Japanese for $800 million. We aren't talking about what Pauline Kael once called a bastard cross-fertilized super art. We're talking about a delusional system that amounts to mass psychosis. What these people don't know about art, they don't know about money either. Salomon likes De Palma, but he was as crazy as the rest of them. And Hollywood's as crazy as Wall Street. And the only good to have come from so much wasted money and wasted talent is the best book about the movies since Nathaniel West's The Day of the Locust, which seems in the wicked light of The Devil's Candy to have been too gentle and too kind, almost a puff piece.
John Leonard is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning. He reviewed The Devil's Candy by Julie Salomon.